That was quick. You guys said hi. One of the cool things we get to do here at North Orange is every December we get to host an event where we partner with Kathy Ireland and 911 for Kids, and we put on a Christmas event here for underprivileged kids in LA County, and it's a big event. They put on the event. We are the building, right? And this is my first time being a lead pastor when we did this last December. And I was going around from classroom to classroom, meeting everybody. We had a representative from Kathy Ireland's team taking us around, just, you know, kind of showing us what happens. There's a lot of stuff that happens for these children. They fill stockings, they do crafts, gingerbread houses. We have a lot of you as volunteers helping out for this event to make it happen. Our worship team does Christmas carols for the kids. We even have Santa Claus come and give away presents and stuff. And I read them a Christmas story. So it's a fun time for them. We partner with them and stuff. But I was going around from classroom to classroom just thanking everybody and meeting people, asking where they're from and all these volunteers. And I would take pictures with some of them who wanted to. Not too many people wanted to take pictures with me because I was standing next to Kathy Ireland. So they'd rather take pictures with her, and that's okay. Yeah, that was her career for a long time. But one of the leaders who was taking me around at one point, she took a tin of mints out of her pocket, and she took one, and then she said, "Do you want one?" What do you say to that? Is that a question? I did not want one, but maybe I needed one, or three. So I took it. Did the event winner, whatever. So the truth is, the point is, sometimes there are things you do that's not necessarily about you, right? Right. We all get to a certain age where we sweat and body odor and we learn about deodorant, right? And some people could say, "Well, I don't wear deodorant, I don't mind the smell." Well, friend, it's not about you. It's about the people around you. Put it on. Disciplining children, whether you ground them or take things away, whatever you do in order to train up children in what's right and wrong, it's for them, right? But ultimately also it's for everyone else, right? Because you don't want to release these little monsters all over society, right? And so you discipline your kids and you say, "Hey, I'm doing this for you, love you. You need to know the Lord disciplines out of love, but also, like, you can't be a little monster on society. Like, I don't want to watch your documentary on Netflix, okay?" Right? If your friend had too much to drink, and he's got the keys, and he's like, "I'm okay, I can drive," right? And you still go, no. It's not about you, right? Give me the key. We don't want you playing bumper cars on Lincoln Avenue, okay? Give me the keys, right? Sometimes you do things for other people because it's not about you, right? Right? We understand that? Sometimes you do that even in the church. But before we do that, I have a question. How is the church going to get this church? How are we going to get to a vibrant, God-honoring, evangelistic community that prepares the body of Christ for life on earth and also refines us for heaven? How are we going to get there? Well, Paul says a little bit about it, so let's study his word together. We're in a series called Citizens of Heaven, studying the book of Ephesians. Tell you a little bit about this because it's been a while since we did a background. Paul wrote this letter while he was on house arrest. During his house arrest in Rome in about 60 AD, he wrote four letters: Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And this letter was meant to circulate, though it started in Ephesus and circulated all around, lands here in Orange County in 2020. So we're going to turn to Ephesians together. And we're going to find out how the church is going to turn into a vibrant, God-honoring, evangelistic community that prepares the body for life here on earth and refines us for heaven afterwards. Turn to Ephesians together. It's the 10th book of the New Testament. It's between Galatians and Philippians. And use that table of contents. That's what it's there for. No shame. So how are we going to do that? The first thing we're going to see here as we turn to Ephesians 4, chapter 1 is, Paul calls us to link up, to be united, be a united church, link up. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the body, to preserve the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I mean, Paul's a good preacher, right? A cool little note there for you Bible scholars. He uses the word one seven times there, seven being the number for complete and fullness, and so he was doing something there poetically as well. But what's cool is we're all different, right? We're all different. But despite our differences, we come together as this one body. And when we come together as this one body, when we link up, when we unite, we show the world God. How do we do this? Paul says right here in verse 4, it's through the one Holy Spirit. It's through one Spirit. And so this is the call, church. We are called to be united. And I know we talked about that earlier. Paul is emphasizing it. We're called to be one. And in our oneness, we will show the oneness of God. Remember, this went out to a time when there was plenty of little pagan demigods, right? God of this, God of that, God of this. And he said, no, there's one God. And the church is going to reflect that one God when we're united as one. So link up, church. Through our unity, we will show the world God. Link up. You guys know how a chain works? How a chain works? Chain is only as strong as its weakest link, right? Chains can do beautiful, marvelous things. They can also be the most mind-numbingly irritating thing if you have ever had a bicycle and the thing kept falling off, right? But chains can propel bicycles, right, as you pedal. You get a strong enough chain, it can help a suspension bridge come down and cars can pass. I mean, they're amazing when they function correctly. You get one bad link in the chain, and the integrity of the entire structure falls. There's that game show, The Weakest Link, right? Where they say goodbye to the weak one in the group. You're the weakest link. Goodbye, right? So with a weak link in a chain, it's not united anymore. It's not strong. But when it's all strong, when the links are all strong and united, that thing can hold a bridge. Now maybe you don't work with chains often, so maybe that illustration doesn't hit home with you, but as we come upon this festive time of year, you ever put up Christmas lights? You know how that works? You get one bulb out, throw it away. Buy a new one. No, what do you have to do? So the way they invented Christmas lights, either to make them cost efficient or to make you go crazy during a festive time of year, I don't know what the reason is, right? Is if you have one bulb out, it messes up the entire strain. Right? And so you could like test each bulb. Sometimes it stops at a certain strain, which is wonderful. But sometimes you have to test each bulb. The point is, you need every bulb to work in a strain of Christmas lights for it to light up as well. So we're to light up. We're to link up. We're the church. We're supposed to be united. And that's what Paul says here. We are one, and we're called to work together. Easy enough? And in this case, when you're united, you'll show this divided world the glory of God. When we live united, we'll show the world that's divided God's glory and oneness. Because we can only be united by His Holy Spirit, right? So we're called to link up. Fair enough? Sermon over? All right, go do it. But Paul gets more specific here with how we link up. How are we to be united? So let's look here. Starting in verse 7, the next thing we'll see here is Paul calls us to link up and then build up. Link up and then build up. Verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So we were given a gift, a spiritual gift from Christ. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Verse 9, now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself, also he who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fulfill all things. A lot of people read that to mean different things. Take your pick. I think the most sound thing that makes sense there is Christ's ascension has to do with conquering, okay? So some people say, like, is that death? Is that Hades? Is that hell? We think the descending is coming down to earth and dying for sin. And by his resurrection, his ascending, his heavenly ascent, he's able to bestow on the church gifts, okay? Think context when you read this, okay? And so that's what we believe. Verse 11, and so he talks about the gifts. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature with which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We are called to build up the body. The imagery here is everyone taking their own gifts and talents and using them to serve the church. Each one of us has different gifts and talents. Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 12, for you note takers, that each one of us is given what's called a spiritual gift, or more than one in some cases. Upon coming to faith, you are bestowed spiritually with gifts, and those gifts are things we're supposed to use to build up the church. Jesus ascended to heaven after being here on earth and gifted the church with different offices of people. Let's talk about those offices. The first is the apostles. That would have been the 13 at the time, right? The second is the prophets. The prophets were those in the first century church that proclaimed the truth of God through divine inspiration. They spoke for God. They were prophets. The third, evangelists. And we have those today as well. Those who travel sharing the gospel message around the world. And the fourth are the pastors and teachers. And you know who those are. I hope. I hope you know who those are. Pastor's Appreciation Month. Excuse me. Okay, so both offices of leadership in the church and the people of the church were called to use their unique talents to build up the church. Those who were those four offices and every other person who called themselves part of the body who was bestowed a gift was supposed to use their gifts and talents to build up the church. So we link up uniting and then we build up the body together. I like living in the city of Orange. I like it. Friendly community for the most part, right? Everybody knows, or not everybody, but people know their neighbors and they're friendly. And well, imagine if you would that you had a neighbor and their house was damaged in a fire. And let's just say for this illustration's sake that insurance isn't going to kick in or insurance wouldn't happen. But you're able to help. And so the way this looks is it's like the neighborhood comes and builds this house that's been devastated or destroyed or in part by fire, and they bring their gifts, their talents, their own tools, because each of you has a different toolbox, right? And it's your toolbox. Don't touch my toolbox, right? Don't move stuff. I know where everything is in my toolbox, right? Some of you guys are nodding too much, okay? Right? And so you go over there and you help to build up this house. Let's say you're a teacher. Well, then maybe you'd work on the foundation of that house, right? That's your gift, teaching. Maybe you work on the foundation. Let's say your gift is administration. Well, maybe you'd work on the structure of that house, the walls of that house. Let's say your gift is music. Well, or art. Well, maybe you work on the landscaping that was burned up in that house. Maybe you just have a lot of time. Like, my gift at this time, in this season of life, is time. I have more time than a lot of people don't have, right? Well, maybe that's when you work on the plumbing of that house. And the house being the church, the body. The point is, we all have these gifts and talents, and we're supposed to use our unique toolbox to build the body. Don't let your toolbox sit in the corner of your garage gathering dust. We're here to pitch in and do our part, Paul says. We're here to build up. Out of the four offices that Paul talked about, I'm a pastor. God made me a pastor. He gave me the office of your pastor. I'm grateful for that. And he did that for a reason. Did he do it so that I entertain you? No. The answer to that is no. If it's entertaining, I'm glad. Did he do it so that I'd motivate you? That's no too. If you're motivated, I'm glad, but that's not why. Did he do that? Did he make me the pastor here at North Orange so that I'd agree with every ministry idea that you have? Some of you guys know that's not true.
He made me the pastor here at North Orange. He gave us pastors, Paul says, in the section of Scripture to equip you, to train you, to apprentice you, so that spiritually you guys would have the tools to build up the church. Sound good? Here's the thing. Any teachers in here? I'm not going to say all the time, but sometimes teachers, have you ever come across a student who wasn't motivated to learn? Once or twice. Okay, let's say, anybody ever been to summer school? Anybody ever willingly been to summer school? Yeah, nobody, right? You go to summer school because you're failing a class, right? You go to summer school to make up something, right? And so students don't want to go to summer school because it's 8 in the morning and they're supposed to be on vacation, okay? They want to sleep till noon and play video games till death, okay? That's what they want to do during vacation, all right? And so when they show up to, let's say it's 8 a.m. woodshop class, when they show up to 8 a.m. woodshop class during the summer, are they excited to be there? They're yawning. They're slouching. If they were supposed to bring their own safety equipment, they don't even have goggles and gloves. Like, someone's going to lose an eyeball today, right? Right? They don't want to be there. It's summer school. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, the people in the body of Christ show up to the building of the church like they're at an 8 a.m. summer school woodshop class. Are we friends? Are we friends still? No more pastor's appreciation gift for you. So, like, sometimes the people who show up here, they're not ready to be equipped. They're not ready to learn. They don't even have their tools. They ain't brought their safety gloves. They don't know where their Bible is. And we as a leadership are like, we want to help you. We want to equip you to live this life spiritually, to share the gospel through the world, and to help you be more like the image of Jesus Christ so the Spirit can work in you. But there's no motivation. Sometimes. I'm not saying this is all of you, okay? So if you're doing your thing, God bless you, keep doing it. But if the shoe fits, wear it. And this is a big shoe. It fits a lot of people, all right? Some people won't learn. Some people won't be equipped. Some people will not build the church. And the problem with that is that's not a church. That's not a body. That's consumerism. That's I'm here for something. I'm not here to be a part of. I'm not here to build. I'm here to consume. That's not a body of Christ. You know what that is? That's not church membership. That's Costco membership. Okay? I'm looking for the shortest line and the quickest way out. Okay? I have some important questions for you here from Paul's letter. Are you using your gifts to build the church? Are you using your gifts to build up so that we can link up? And the second question is, are you showing up here ready to be equipped? Are you here ready and willing to be equipped for what the Lord has for you? Third question, are we still friends?
All right, let's keep going here.
The church needs to take this seriously, okay? The church needs to be equipped. The message of hope through Jesus Christ is the only hope that world out there has. And let me tell you something. I'll preach until I can't speak anymore. The elders will preach until they can't speak anymore. The other staff will preach till they can't speak anymore. And their message will never be enough. We can't reach them. Right? So we're here to equip you. We need you because those people out there need the hope of Jesus Christ, and they're going to get it from who? From you. And so we're here to equip you, the body. So link up so we can build up. Amen? You have a message of hope for them, so take this seriously. Use your gifts to serve the church. So we see from the section here, some of us aren't able to build up. We don't have the right desire or motives when it comes to the church. And Paul talks about a little bit about why that is in this next section here. Next, we're going to go to Ephesians 4:14. And let's see why some of us aren't able to build up. 4:14. And the thing we'll see here is Paul's going to tell us we're not able to build up because we need to grow up. We're not able to build up because we need to grow up. Ephesians 4:14.
As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Paul says, you got to link up and you got to build up. And we can't do that until we grow up. We got to grow up. He says, you got to grow up so you won't be tossed to and fro by bad doctrine and bad teaching. You're to have truth as an anchor spiritually and emotionally, so that you're not tossed around spiritually and emotionally by bad doctrine. Is there bad doctrine out there? Yes, there is. And people can make the Bible mean anything, right? That's why there's different cults and stuff, and it's all horrible. And Paul says, you need to grow up, and you need to have truth as an anchor so you can be aware of bad doctrine. Paul says, you will go from spiritual toddlers to spiritual titans. That's your call. And when you do, you will be a church that flourishes. Because the truth is, the church is like a family business. Anyone here inherit the family business? The church is a family business. It's been passed down to us from great-great-great-great-granddad apostles, right? Right? Great-great-great-granddad pastors after them, right? And sometimes I go in the chapel to pray during the week and just to prepare sermons, and sometimes I just stand in there and weep. I do. Because I'm just in awe of all the ministry that's happened in there over the years. In the same way, the church has had ministry happen through the years, and you are inheriting the family business from all the things that's happened in generation, from generation to generation. And they're ready to hand the family business over to you. But some of us don't want it. We don't want the family business. Why? Because we don't want to grow up. We don't want to grow up spiritually. That's for you, Pastor. You went to Bible college. You went to seminary. I kind of like being a spiritual toddler. People feed me. I throw a tantrum. Everybody comes to me, right, and gives me what I want, right? If I throw a big enough tantrum, the elders will come change my diapers, right? Right? And God says through Paul here that you have to grow up. You cannot dodge the responsibility of growing in faith and doctrine. And the reason why some of us avoid growing up is because we have focused too much on the secondary things. The secondary things. They're not bad things. They're secondary things. You know what I'm talking about? Like hobbies and recreation. Some of you need a hobby. You're so stressed out, right? Some of you need a vacation. You're so stressed out. But some of us live vacation and live hobby. And we haven't grown into the faith. We haven't learned doctrine. Right? We don't go to Bible study. We don't know our word because we're too busy being recreational. I mean, I'm learning to kite surf or something like that, right? I'm learning to kite surf and I'm making my own clay pots. Awesome. Cool. But have you studied your word? Have you spent quiet time with God? Are you discipling the next generation? Like, we focus so much on secondary things, recreation. Oh, I spent all my time at Disneyland or the beach, right? Great. This is Southern California. Do it. Amazing. But not more than God, and not before God, because we focus too much on secondary things sometimes. We should have been growing spiritually so that we could be part of church leadership, but we weren't. We were watching football or we went fishing with the guys, right? And then when it came time for the church leadership to look for the next set of elders, we couldn't find any spiritually mature people. All we saw were toddlers. And so we came out here and we said, where's the next person who's going to lead the women's ministry? Where's the next person who's going to lead the men's ministry? Where's the next person who's going to lead the prayer ministry? Couldn't find them. And we said, where's the next wave of elders? Those who would lead the church and where we're going to go. Couldn't find them. Why? Because they were focusing on secondary things, which are fine, by the way. Don't hear me say Disneyland is evil, because when it opens, I'm going to be there. I'll be in a bubble. Don't touch my bubble, right? I'm not saying they're bad, but do you guys remember when you wanted to go outside and play outside after school? What did mom and dad say? After what?
homework, chore. There was stuff you had to do first, right? You better do that homework first. What if you got homework that's going to last till nighttime? I mean, you can go out tomorrow, right? But you're going to do your homework before you go outside, right? That's how you learn to grow up. And so for some of us in the church, we haven't done our homework in a long time. Like, we got some late assignments, right? Like, we got some progress reports that Dad ain't going to be happy about, right? Right. And so we need to put the main thing, and get our homework done first. North Orange, I'm talking to you. We focused on other things for too long, and we focused on the secondary things for too long, and we focused very little on spiritual maturity. We need to get our homework done, amen? So that we can build up. So that we can be those who've built up. Do you want to build up? Do you want to grow up? You guys know the story of Peter Pan? This is Disney area, right? We know Peter Pan. Did the kid say, yeah? He'd be preaching here in 30 years. I got to get my resume ready. So Peter Pan was the one who never wanted to grow up. Like, this is all a game to him, right? Even if he's fighting, like, adult pirates to the death, this is all a game. I never want to grow up. I want to be a boy forever, right? And that's the whole thing about Peter Pan. Does the church have too many Peter Pans in it? Little boys and little girls who don't want to mature. Paul is calling us to grow up. Because if you don't grow up, you won't link up. And if you don't grow up, you won't build up. And so Paul is saying, for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of your church, men and women of God, you need to grow up spiritually. 1 Corinthians 13, 11, Paul said this when he was speaking about love. He said, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. It's time to man up, church. It's time to woman up, church. It's time to grow up, church. Amen? Edmund, how could you say that? How could you say man up? That's toxic masculinity. You can't say that. Paul is calling us to do it. God is calling us to do it. The time for children's games is over. We need this next wave to build up the church. And in order to do that, we, men and women of God, need to grow up. And I'll say this, it doesn't matter how old you are. It really doesn't. We got teenagers in here. We got the young man who knew the Peter Pan story behind there, right? Or back there, right? Like, everybody can grow up spiritually starting today. It doesn't matter how old you are. 9:99, it doesn't matter. You all have a part to play in the church. We're all different. We all have a different toolbox, but we're all called to use our tools to build. Amen? All right. So the question was, how are we going to get to a vibrant, God-honoring, evangelistic community that prepares the body of Christ for life on earth and refines us for heaven? And the answer, we'll get there by sacrificing for others. By pursuing growth and holiness to sacrifice for others. It's the foundation of the gospel that saved us. It's not about me, it's about them. That's what Jesus said, right? And so because we want to be that type of church, we're going to take it upon ourselves to grow up. Because we want to be that type of church, we're going to take it upon ourselves to say no to some secondary things to build up, okay? We will serve the church and we will be united, and that's what Paul says. That's why the main point today is this: be selfless in the uniting, building, and growing of your church. Be selfless in the uniting, building, and growing of your church. That's the main point for today. This is about them. It's not about you. Take the breath mint. You need it. Put on the deodorant. It's about them, not you. You guys following me? Grow in faith and holiness to build up the church for them. The church needs this from you. You need to be selfless in your growth for the sake of the church and for the sake of the kingdom. How do you do this? I'm going to give you some ways you can do this. Number one, we do it by copying Jesus who saved you. Jesus was the perfect example of this. In Matthew, he talked about serving and not being served. He said this in Matthew 20:28. I think, is the screen frozen? Matthew 20:28 says this: just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus says, I'm the king, but I didn't come here to be served. I came here to serve. And we're supposed to emulate and copy him. That's one of the tenets of the gospel, to be selfless. Right? When you live for the kingdom, everything is better. Amen? The world is better. The church will be better. Your family will like you more when you're selfless. Everything is better. Your coworkers will like you more. The neighbors will like you more. Everything is better when you live selfless. So number one, you do it by being selfless. Number two, how will you do it? Jesus will do it. I know some of you guys got really burdened when I talked about this. Like, oh, how can I do that? That's like telling me to run a marathon tomorrow. I'd rather die. Right? There's no way. But Paul tells us in this version, in this chunk of scripture, verse 11, that Jesus will make it happen. I'm going to go ahead and skip down here, verse 13. Until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature, which belongs to the fullness of Christ. In Jesus' fullness, he will attain these things. He will make it happen. He will see it to fruition. All right, so how do we live this out? I'm going to give you some application points now. How do we live this out? You live this out by doing these things. You live this out, you live out this call from going to death to life by being who God called you to be. And the way that you live this out is here in the scripture, and every one of these points shows evidence of a heart that's been regenerated by God, okay? So when you live this out, people will see God in all these points. And you don't have to go far. It's in the first section of the scripture from verses 2 to 3. Paul says what? You be completely humble. You're to be completely humble. Humility is not downplaying yourself, okay? Like, humility is seeing yourself as who you really are, all right? Humility is not downplaying yourself, being down on yourself, lying about yourself. It's seeing yourself who you really are. I am a sinner who needs Jesus, all right? That's humility. So he says, be completely humble. Be completely gentle. Some of us, if we're gentle, that's enough of a gospel witness to the people who know us, because we've lived our lives so harsh to the people around us, right? But gentleness, to not be harsh, to be like Christ, who accepted children and women and people of different cultures to the ministry, and he ministered to them lovingly, right? You're not interrupting me, right? We're called to mimic that same gentleness, not harsh, to be kind. Number three, with patience. We have empathy for people and their struggle. We understand. Everything's not all about us. Like, oh, now I'm late. Oh, now I have to wait. Oh, I can't believe you won't grow up already. Oh, right? I'm going to talk about that in the next one. But we have empathy. We understand what people are going through. We walk around in their shoes and we wait. And we're patient with them. Do you know why? Is God patient with you? Oh, you better believe it. We don't want to see his list, right? He doesn't have one. Jesus died for your list. Don't worry. Number four, we're tolerant with one another. Now here, tolerance is a new American standard word. I don't really love it because of what it means in our society. Like, we don't tolerate sin, okay? We're not tolerant of sin and sinful lifestyle. What it means is, a better way to say it is, we bear with one another. We bear with one another. We're willing to forgive sins. Let me tell you something you might not know. Some of you who've lived with a spouse for a lot of years, you already know. You'll never have the perfect version of the person sitting next to you. Never. You're like, oh, I know. Don't nod so much, okay? They can see you, all right? But here, so, like, you'll never have the perfect version of them, but you are willing to bear with them when they repent for their sins, when they come back and ask for forgiveness, because you know that God is still working on them, just like God is still working on you. So you bear with one another. And so if you do all these things, if you're completely humble, if you're completely gentle, if you're patient and you're tolerant with others, that's a step towards growing up, right? That's a step towards growing up. And when we grow up, we can build up. And when we grow up, we can link up. And when we grow up, we link up, we build up, we show the world that God is one. We show the world that the Holy Spirit is real and it's uniting and he is one. And we show the world that we are one. Amen? So can we work together to be a united church? You guys can talk to me. Can we work together to build up the church? Are you willing to pursue spiritual maturity for the sake of your church? If we could do that, we could change the world. If we could do it the way God intended for us to do it through Paul's writing, we could change the world. We don't see much snow around here, right? I used to go skiing every year in Lake Tahoe, and one of the cool things about it is sometimes it would snow, right? And I wore these black mittens, and every once in a while you'd see this little snowflake, perfect little snowflake. You catch it, right? You guys ever seen a snowflake? They're beautiful. They're fragile, right? If you move too much, if you crush it, it'll break in a second, right? Snowflakes are fragile. But if you get a bunch of them together, if you get a bunch of them falling together, working together, building on each other, do you know what you get? You get avalanche. You get glaciers that steamships have to go around. You get mountain tops, right, that people can't even climb to and planes have to watch out for, right? A snowflake on its own, fragile, weak. But when it works together, mighty, strong, capable of changing trajectory of planes and boats. North Orange, think of what you could do when you work together, when you link up, build up, and grow up. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we're grateful that you have called us in our uniqueness. You've created us all unique with different skills and talents. Even as the band secretly comes behind me as I pray, I wish I could play an instrument like them. I wish I could sing like them, but I can't because you've given me different gifts. And there are people sitting in the crowd today who have different gifts. There are people who are watching online who have different gifts. But the one thing we have in common is that you've gifted them so that they would use their gifts and abilities to build up the church. And not just so we can have a cool church, so they can say, oh, that's that church. No, you've done it, Lord, so that the world would see us and then see you, God. So my prayer today is that you'd activate us in our gifts, Lord, that you'd put a yearning and spur in our hearts, Lord, so that we would use our gifts to build up the church. And when they see the church, they would see you. They'd say, oh, there's one God and one Spirit. And we want that one faith, and I want that one baptism. And all of that because of the way that your people are one body. Lord, I want it. Lord, I pray that they want it. I want them to yearn for it, God. Lord, help us to grow up in areas we need to grow. You know us better than we know ourselves, Lord. Show us the areas of our life we need to grow up. And then, Lord, activate us. Give us the tools. Let us pick up our toolboxes, Lord, so we can build up your church, the church that Jesus died to establish. It's for the glory of his name we pray. Amen.